How do you protect yourself on social media and also online in general, looking out for those scams? And digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg is going to help us with that this morning. Scott, is it my imagination, or are there more social media scams than ever now?
Morning, Bob. No, it's not your imagination. Social media scams have exploded because scammers go where people are, and that's online. And social platforms are built for sharing and connecting, which means people often let their guard down, which makes it easy for scammers to blend in, earn trust, and they get to pull off their cons.
What are the most common types of scams right now?
How much time do we have? It's gotten really bad. Some of the most common ones are phishing scams, where a scammer pretends to be someone trustworthy in an attempt to get your password or personal info. There's also fake giveaways or contests. There's investment scams promising quick riches, romance scams that tug at your heartstrings. There's impersonations, like when someone pretends to be your friend or your family member and they ask you for money. And then there's the what I like to call too good to be true shopping deals or rental offers that vanish once you send in a payment.
Yeah. What about those quizzes, the personality tests that pop up all the time? Those are risky, aren't they?
They are so risky because they're fun-looking quizzes, but they can be a sneaky way for a scammer to collect personal information. And think about the questions they're asking. Sometimes they ask about your mother's maiden name or the name of your first pet. These are the same things that you often use as security questions for your bank or email. And sharing details like this publicly can help bad actors piece together your identity.
Yeah. Keep your pet's name a secret. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
That would absolutely be a good idea.
The information that you put on social media, what you're saying is this can be used by the scammers easily, right?
Yes. It's because people usually don't think that they're going to try to piece together what's actually happening, but they will take the time if they realize that that information is out there.
You mentioned impersonations, those messages that are supposedly from friends asking for money in an emergency. These have been going around for a long time, and it's hard to believe people fall for this stuff, but they do, don't they?
They really do, and it's really hard to watch, Bob. You know, scammers will hack or clone a friend's account and send out urgent requests for money. They're often saying that they're in trouble in another country or they need help fast. The key red flag is the message asks you to act quickly. That's a big one. And keep it secret, another big one. Why would you do that? And if you ever get a message like this, call your friend directly. Never reply on social media.
And with all the AI and advances in technology, it's getting harder and harder to spot all sorts of scams because they look real. And I've noticed this, too, with these emails and texts. I mean, it's really to the point now where it's easy to fall for it.
And that's true. And that's a really, really big part of this. But there are a bunch of telltale signs. And I don't think these signs will ever change. There's always poor grammar or odd phrasing because they're trying to get around these email things where they have to use that to get them through those fences. New profiles that have almost no history. You see those often where someone just sets up an account or request to leave the platform and chat elsewhere. That's a really weird telltale sign. Why would you want to move anywhere else if you're already having a conversation? And if someone is asking for sensitive info or money, it's always best to just pause and double check. Also, here's another one. Look for generic greetings or messages that feel slightly out of context, like dear person or dear owner. They're often a sign that something's off. And that red flag that I previously mentioned is really, really important. The ask of you to act quickly and keep it a secret. Scammers always seem pressed for time.
With Scott Kleinberg, and we're talking about scams. Can you talk a little, Scott, about phishing on social media versus on email?
Yes, absolutely. Traditional phishing usually comes through email, but on social media, it almost always feels more personal. The scammer might spend time liking your post or commenting before reaching out with a direct message about a supposed security issue, or maybe it's an amazing offer. Because if it's coming from someone who seems connected to your world, it's usually easier to fall for. So always double check the person's profile and never click on any suspicious links.
Yeah, and you got to really be careful if somebody is offering you a job or a prize, right?
Absolutely. You got to be extra cautious because these are two of the oldest tricks in the book, and they work, and scammers know that. So you never want to pay a fee to unlock a prize or a job. Real employers, contests, they'll never ask for something like that. And always check the company's website. Reach out through trusted contact information. Look for signs of legitimacy like professional email addresses. Make sure web pages where they send you are complete. And sadly, the old adage of if it looks too good to be true, well, that's probably likely to apply in this situation.
So give us your best tips to prevent falling for these scams.
Yeah, sure. Here's a few big ones. Use strong, unique passwords. Enable two-factor authentication on every important account. Don't let anybody get close to your accounts. Keep your privacy settings tight. Never overshare personal details. That's easy for people to do when they get comfortable. And never click on strange links. Never download attachments from unknown messages. There's just no reason. And trust your gut. Your gut is often smarter than any technology will ever be. And that's why it helps in the age of AI. If something feels off, take a step back and double check.
It is shocking that people send money or share bank account information with someone who they met online.
And Bob, honestly, these kinds of stories make me sad because they're almost always a scam. It's all about building trust and acting on that relationship. Never, ever do this unless you absolutely, truly know the person you're dealing with. Scammers are experts at creating urgency. We were saying before, do it in a hurry. If money or your financial details come up, just step away. Instead, contact a friend, contact the company yourself using the company's official phone number or website to confirm what's going on.
That reminds me of one of your favorite tips that you share about credit cards. Give us that again.
Yeah. And I'm so glad this has become so useful to so many people. If a credit card company seems to be reaching out to ask you to do something, just don't do it. Call the number on the back of the card and ask. Say, I've been asked to do this. Is this something you need me to do? It's so much safer than assuming what you're clicking on is on the up and up.
You know, I was just thinking, we're going to post this conversation in a little while at WGNRadio.com. And it's something that I think many people will want to send to their mom or dad or grandparents because I think they are the most likely to fall for some of this stuff. Are there any safe ways to shop through social media?
There are. You still have to be careful, though. You want to look in the address, the URL for that HTTPS. It has to have the S afterwards and a lock icon in your browser when checking out. Most sites have this now, but the ones that are not legitimate may not. Stick to well-known brands. Avoid deals that seem unbeatable, like those incredible prices on expensive gadgets or concert tickets. We're getting into the season of holidays where people are going to try to do this stuff, so be careful of that. And never send money through wire transfers or gift cards. Don't ever do that to someone that you don't know.
One thing I was thinking about a lot on the trip we just took is public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You have to really use caution there, don't you?
You really do, because scammers can intercept your data. If you must get online in public, skip any sensitive business. Never, ever log into your bank. Never make purchases. Don't change your passwords on public Wi-Fi. In that case, use a VPN if you have one, or wait until you're on a secure network somewhere else.
What about reporting some of these scams? How do you do that? And does that do any good?
I mean, it depends if it does any good, but you should always report them. Most platforms make it easy to report some these types of messages, whether they're messages, profiles, ads, you can usually find a report or flag option right on the post or the user profile. Reporting technically helps protect not just yourself, but others too. And if you ever do fall victim, you can always contact your bank and your local law enforcement right away. That's something you should do after, report and then make sure you do that as well.
And if you realize you've been scammed, then what is the very first thing you should do?
That's a great question. Act fast. Change your passwords immediately, especially for email and your social media accounts. Make sure that two-factor authentication is set up. If you send money to anyone, call your bank, call your credit card provider and flag it. And as we just said, report that scam to the social platform, because the faster you move, in theory, the less damage the scammer can do.
Before we get to this week's Genius Bar question, any final thoughts on all this, Scott?
Yeah. I would say first, stay curious, not suspicious. Always ask yourself, does this seem right? Trust your gut. Keep your passwords strong and unique. Never reuse them on different sites. And remember, if something online feels too urgent, too emotional, it just feels too good to be true, take a step back, take a deep breath, and investigate before you do any type of responding.
We talked about passkeys with you a couple weeks ago, and here's our question from a listener. If passkey only works on one device, what happens when you get a new device or want to access from another device?
Okay, that is a really great question. There are different types of passkeys, or how passkeys work. They can either be device bound, which means it's always on that device, or they can be synced across devices. So when I say synced, if you use iCloud Keychain or you use Google or 1Password or one of those password account type managers, you can sync your passkey across machines and devices seamlessly. So if you move from one to the other, it shouldn't necessarily be a problem. Now, if you don't have that syncing function, depending on what kind of passkey you have, then yes, you would have to create a new passkey when you get the new device. So in that case, you buy a new phone and it doesn't have that iCloud keychain, then you would be asked to go through the steps again to set up the passkey. And if you have a physical security key, those are those little things that look like thumb drives. Not everybody uses them. Some people do. Then you carry that in your pocket and you plug that into whatever computer you're using. And then it's just easy to switch between devices.
Got it. Digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Take care, Bob.